Let's read together Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. Now, in this last section of Ephesians 5, we have the well-known exhortation to husbands and wives as to the relationship to one another and as to their responsibilities to one another. And we also see how a Christian marriage is to reflect that wonderful relationship between Christ and his church. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Let's begin this section now with some background notes. Here in this last section of Ephesians 5, we have further exhortations to believers. Remember in chapter 4, we started the second half of this great epistle, and we saw that really the second half of Ephesians is a series of exhortations based on the doctrine contained in the first half of the letter. In Ephesians 5:18, believers are exhorted to be filled with the Spirit. In fact, this verse could be translated, be continually filled with the Spirit. We saw last week that the filling of the Spirit is not the same as the indwelling of the Spirit. Every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but not every believer is necessarily filled with the Holy Spirit. We also saw that the filling of the Spirit is not the same as the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit took place at Pentecost, when the church was formed as the body of Christ. When we get saved, we are brought into that body of Christ which has already been baptized. So the filling of the Spirit then is not the indwelling of the Spirit, and it's not the baptism of the Spirit. We saw that to be filled with the Spirit is to be under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit-filled believer has certain characteristics. We saw that these characteristics are not the display of certain spiritual gifts or having certain ecstatic spiritual experiences. No, the characteristics of the Spirit-filled believer are given here in Ephesians 5, 19 through 21. The Spirit-filled believer sings spiritual songs, verse 19. The Spirit-filled believer gives thanks for all things, verse 20. And the Spirit-filled believer submits to authority structures, verse 21. Now from verse 22 of chapter 5 all the way through verse 9 of chapter 6, we have an elaboration on this third characteristic of the Spirit-filled believer, submitting to authority structures. And the particular authority structure that's in view here is the home. That brings us then to our doctrinal point. Believers should submit to one another. Believers should submit to one another. And we have two obvious subpoints here. Wives should respect their husbands, and husbands should love their wives. So subpoint A, wives should respect their husbands. Look at the end of verse 33. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. And look back at verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And the end of verse 24, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Now, this is certainly not a very popular teaching today, is it? But this is what the Bible teaches. Now, it does need to be emphasized that to submit to an authority does not mean to be inferior. Subordination is not synonymous with inferiority. It's true that the abuses of authority make it seem like you're inferior when you're submissive. But the truth is that to be submissive is not to be inferior or unequal. Remember, our Lord was subject to his Heavenly Father, but in no way inferior or unequal. When verse 22 says that wives submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, that does not mean that the wife should pretend that her husband is the Lord. No way. It implies two things. First of all, it is the recognition of the authority structure that God has set up for the home. Once again, verses 23 and 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So when the wife submits to her husband, she is doing it as to the Lord, because she is recognizing that the Lord, not society, has ordained this authority structure for the home. Secondly, the phrase as to the Lord means that she never obeys her husband instead of the Lord's commands. For example, if a non-Christian husband asked his wife to get an abortion, she would not obey her husband in this matter. She would obey the Lord's higher command. Normally, however, even non-Christian husbands are not asking their Christian wives to do things which are directly contrary to the teaching of Scripture. In fact, godly behavior of a Christian wife in a mixed marriage can have wonderful results. Read 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 in this connection. Wives should respect their husbands. Subpoint B, husbands should love their wives. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. This is all part of recognizing and submitting to the authority structure that God has set up for the home. Note that the husbands are not told to keep their wives in subjection, but to love their wives. And it's often been said that any wife would automatically submit to her husband if he truly loved her as Christ loved the church. And the word for love that's used here is that word agape. It is not romantic love or sexual love, but it has to do with a husband's denial of himself in the interest of his wife. That's the kind of love Christ has demonstrated for his church. That's the kind of love husbands should show to their wives. Well, husbands here this morning, how are we doing? Any husband here want to raise their hand and say, yep, I have loved my wife as Christ loved the church since the day we were married? How about for the last week? How about for the last 24 hours? Not an easy question, is it? We see from this whole passage that the relationship between husbands and wives is to be a reflection of the love relationship between Christ and his body, the church. Verses 31 and 32 once again. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. What a responsibility we have here, husbands and wives. Don't distort the beautiful spiritual picture that God wants to portray through your marriage. Notice the past, present, and future aspects of the Lord's love for his church in this passage. In verse 25, we have the past, our redemption. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Our Lord voluntarily went to the cross and gave up his life in order to die for our sins and save us. In verse 26, we have the present aspect of our Lord's love for his church, our sanctification. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Sanctification is the process by which believers are made more godly. Notice the key ingredient, the Word of God. This is not baptism, but the cleansing effect of the Word of God. If you don't get into the Word, the Lord cannot keep you clean. In verse 27, we have the future aspect of our Lord's love for His church, our glorification. Verse 27, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. What a great time that will be. In our eternal resurrected bodies, in glory, there will not only be no physical blemishes, such as old age wrinkles, but better yet, there will be no moral blemishes, no sin, or even the capability of sinning. The body of Christ will be holy and without blemish forever. Now notice verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives. In other words, in view of these great truths concerning the love relationship between Christ and His church, past, present, and future, husbands should love their wives and in some measure reflect that love between Christ and His church by the way He loves His wife. Do you follow that? Husbands should love their wives. And a lot more we could say. But let's move now to the practical application. Let's follow the golden rule of marriage. Let's follow the golden rule of marriage. Now, this application is directed particularly towards husbands. So, husbands, what's the golden rule of marriage? It's given twice in this passage. Verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. And verse 33. Let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. That is, as if they were their own bodies. Husbands have been exhorted in this chapter to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Well, just in case some brother has a hard time understanding exactly what that means, to love his wife as Christ loved the church, a very practical gauge is given here. Do you love and care for your wife as much as you do for your own body? Men, according to verse 29, we nourish and cherish our own bodies. I mean, we make sure we care for and protect our bodies. Do we do that for our wives? We make sure that we get included in what's going on. Do we do that for our wives? We make sure we guard ourselves in areas where we're sensitive or weak. Men, do we do that for our wives? 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Husbands here this morning, are your prayers being hindered? Let's hope there are no husbands here this morning that are letting their wives carry the heavier part of the load in reference to the raising of the children, in reference to keeping the home together. Men, let's follow the golden rule of marriage.